lightning rod. Just open your heart to the miracle power of Jesus Christ. He's here right now. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Right now, I speak to your body. I speak the miracle power of Jesus Christ, a risen Christ, into your body. Every organ, every nerve. I speak to infertility. I speak to pain. I speak to arthritis. I speak to weakness and infirmity of every kind. Lord, we invoke your miracle power right now. There is no one like you, Lord. You heal the sick, raise the dead. You cleanse the leper. You cause the blind eye to see. Jesus, we glorify you first and foremost in this place. And we reach up like that woman who just wanted to touch the hem of your garment. The reach of faith right now. We believe you, Lord. And we receive your mighty power. Lord, I pray over every broken relationship. I pray, Lord, over troubled marriages and disoriented disconnections of every kind. Lord, we thank you right now. And Lord, as we enter into the new year, we say concerning 2018 that we bless you for each and every day of this past year, Lord. The days where we wept, the days where it hurt, the days where we were confused, the days where we were distracted, and the many days of blessing. Lord, the whole year, we're thanking you for it. Every second, every minute of it, Lord. We're not going to carry unforgiveness into the new year. We're not going to carry gripes or complaints. Lord, maybe not every prayer was answered this year, but we're not mad at you. We're not sore about it. Because we know that you're a good God and a faithful God, and we bless this year that you've given to us. We thank you for each and every day. We forgive, Lord. We forgive those who have wounded us, those who disappointed us. We're dropping our anger, we're dropping our fear. Anything that could block a miracle, we let it go right now in Jesus' name. We're not going to carry it into 2019. Lord, let there be a cleansing of our lives right now in your presence, Lord. Everything that would stop a miracle. And Lord, let us enter into the new, totally clean, totally ready for all that you have ahead of us. I speak to bodies, hearts, and minds right now. Watching on the internet, right here, live in this service, I speak healing, I speak grace, I speak peace. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. And everyone in agreement says amen. Amen. High five somebody next to you. Say, I'm expecting good things for the new year. Praise God. Take a seat. Thank you, worship team. I've been feeling God's presence and power all day long. I don't know, am I the only person feeling God's presence right now? How many can sense the closeness of Jesus? It's very precious. And if you have a need today, if something's gone wrong, if something's disconnected, if God's power and strength is not yours, I'm believing this message will help you. And then at the end of the message, if you need prayer, we're going to have prayer teams here available to pray with you. Don't leave this place until you have the Lord's touch on your life. Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas, right? Did it go well? Did you have a good time? Good holidays? A lot of our people are still traveling. We had wonderful Christmas. I made a 13-pound prime rib. And I'm not a bragger, but let me tell you, that it was done to perfection. Nothing does it like beef, you know? And we had just a wonderful Christmas day, and then we got busy. We got projects, you know. The office is closed for a few days here, so I'm catching up on different projects. One of my projects is to get rid of junk that's in our house. So I rented a dumpster, and my sons and I filled that dumpster up in about 4 hours with junk that's You know, I've been married for 37 years. My beautiful wife has never thrown away a Christmas decoration of any kind. Not once, not one time. But we got busy and we got rid of a lot of stuff, and I feel like the demons have been exorcised out of my life. All, you know, furniture that we hate and things that we don't want anymore. We're just out with the old and in with the new. And my neighbors look in that dumpster, hey, that's, you could get some money for that. I said, I don't want it. You're welcome to it. It's been in my life long enough. I know I could sell everything I have if I had the time for the next 3 years. I could eBay, things like that. They went into the dumpster, and I feel free. I feel light. Maybe that's why I feel the presence of God. So I hope your Christmas was good, and I hope as you get ready for the new year, you're getting rid of the old. I'm not talking about the junk in your garage. I'm talking about anything in your life that's got to go. Just chuck it. Get rid of it. And let's move into the new. Last night, David and Allie, some of our young people, got married. We had a beautiful reception. And it just hit me. You know, he's 22 years old. I got married when I was 20. 20. Nobody stopped me. You were there, Apostle C. You were there. Why didn't you stop me? I was 20. But we've had 37 years ago. In January, Kathy and I will celebrate 37 years, start our 38th year together. And we still love each other. But I was thinking back, that wedding just made me think about the goodness of God and his kindness and how he always provides. You know, the Lord always provides. I was 20. Kathy borrowed a wedding dress. We couldn't afford a wedding dress. And I know that some people get hurt in church, and I know bad things happen in church, and I'm not minimizing that, but my experience has been that the church has been the best thing that ever happened to me. God's people, you know, for our wedding reception, God's people just brought food. We didn't have any money for food. People brought food, and there was so much food. And for 37 years, I have seen the faithfulness of God, providing in every way, in good times and in bad times. How many of you know that God is faithful? He'll take care of you. And so maybe you're feeling today like, man, I don't know, how's it going to go in the new year? I don't know how we're going to make it. Look, you put your trust in God, you're going to make it. Promise you. And God has more than enough for you, by the way. And as you are a part of what he is doing, and you're a part of community and family and church and the people of God, you watch how he blesses you and brings good things into your life. I'm excited to do 2019 together with you, and I'm excited to bring a message this morning that will just be one message all by itself. I want to take this last Sunday of 2018 and talk to you about 2019. First of all, I want you to know next Sunday, Robert Henderson will be here. It's going to be a great Sunday. The following Sunday, Mary Alice Islip. I'll still be here, but we got some prayer teachers coming, and we're going to have a great time because we're going to go into 2019 with a roar. Hallelujah. People are asking me, what do you sense about 2019? What do you think is coming ahead? And I would just, if I had to put it in one simple phrase, just speaking prophetically from my heart, I believe this is going to be a year of God's power as never before. I believe that we have our might and we have our strength and we have our forceful personalities. I know some of you are very forceful in your personalities. I know I am. And you can go only so far in the strength of your know-how, your ability, your charisma, your genius, your creativity. It will take you to a certain point, but there are some things that can only happen by the Holy Spirit. And I believe 2019 is trying to be a year of God's power, trying to be a year when we step out of the way just enough to let God take over. I'm not saying we're not going to try. I'm not saying we shouldn't make our best efforts, and you know, resolutions are great and all of that, but there are some things that only God can do in our lives. And that's what I believe God wants to show us in this new year. I believe God wants to show you what he can do if you'll yield to his power. So let us do this in the new year. Let's yield to the Holy Spirit as never before. I'm not talking about acting crazy. Or there's nothing crazy about the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, let's just make a place for the Holy Spirit as never before. And as we go into January, let's dedicate at least a whole month of just focus on praying and seeking God and getting close and getting our spirits really ramped up for an awesome, incredible year of the Holy Spirit's power. How many are with me on that? I'm going to talk to you out of my heart about a few things that I really believe are important for us and what God is saying to me prophetically. Let me talk to you out of the prophetic side of my ministry here today. I'm not going to do so much teaching as just to encourage you about what I believe is coming ahead. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 would be the closest thing to a theme verse, I think, that I would have for 2019. And it says, "This is the message of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You will not succeed by your own strength or your own power." The power, say this with me, everybody. "The power will come from my spirit," says the Lord of heaven's armies. This is a beautiful passage because it takes place in the book of Zechariah, which Zechariah was a prophet prophesying to a man named Zerubbabel who had a big task ahead of him. He was rebuilding the house of God after it had been destroyed. And it was kind of a discouraging project. Have you ever been in a project that just didn't seem to be going well? Sometimes, you know, things start off great, like the new year. We start off with a roar, but over the course of time, the energy drains out and it just kind of returns to the same. And that's exactly what happened to Zerubbabel. People started to build the house of the Lord and they were encouraged about it. Everybody was in, "Man, let's do it. Yeah, yeah, yay, God. Here we go." But over the course of time, their hearts started drifting. They started thinking about their own house more than the house of God. And the work of God kind of stopped. And Zerubbabel was down. He couldn't do it by himself. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew that you could not do it by yourself? And maybe you feel like nobody's helping you. This is where Zerubbabel was. So Zechariah gives him this prophecy. It's not going to happen by the force of your personality. You're not going to get this done in your own strength, but I will do it by my spirit, says the Lord. And do you know what happened? People started rallying. They came back and they finished the house of the Lord and they dedicated it, and there was tears and there was weeping and there was shouting, and they finished it. I want to ask you, what's the big challenge in your life today? What's going on with you? What's really happening? How encouraged are you, or discouraged are you really? How are you gonna get done parenting and ministry and career and all the stuff what's the area that's broken in your life? What's the mountain that won't move? What's the challenge? Hear the word of the Lord. You will do it, but not in your strength. It's not by the force of your personality. It's not by your strength. It's by God's Spirit. That's where the miracle takes place. That's where the impossible can really begin to take place in your life. So in this year, I prophesy to you good things ahead for you, but not in your strength. Show up. Do your part, right? But understand that in the inside of you doing what you're doing, there has to be God doing what he alone can do. And if you make a place for the Holy Spirit in your life, he will heal, he will provide, he will energize you, he'll cause a breakthrough to take place in your life. There are three words on my mind this morning. I want to share them with you. The first word is accelerate. Everybody say accelerate. When I think about this new year, I think about that word accelerate. The definition of accelerate is to increase in amount or extent, to speed up, right? To accelerate, to gain momentum, to pick up speed, to escalate, to quicken, to advance, to move forward, to increase velocity. In other words, to put the pedal to the metal. And if you're contemplating easing up, settling back, heading to the back seat, letting go, you know, a little bit less of God, a little bit less of church, a little bit less of prayer, a little bit less of the Bible, I challenge you. No, I adjure you in Jesus' name. Abandon that weak plan and put the pedal to the metal in your spiritual life. And start dreaming big. Start asking God for big things. Get back in the game. You know, pick up speed. Increase. Accelerate. Let's go forward. The other word comes from a prophetic word that Eric Butler gave us in October. Eric Butler will be back in next October for our big conference, but I don't know if you were here for the Inspire Leadership Conference, but he kept saying catapult. Everyone say catapult. And that word got in my spirit, and it's still there. Let me give you the definition of this word. It's a device in which accumulated tension is suddenly released. Anybody building up tension? An accumulated tension is suddenly released to hurl an object in a specified direction against an enemy position. That's catapult. To thrust, to move suddenly or at a great speed over great distances and through barriers. I like that word catapult. Because what happens is we feel sometimes we're behind, but do you know in 1 second God can catapult you through every barrier? You can say, man, I've wasted so much time. I've messed up, man. I've lost a year. I've lost 5 years. I've been messing around. I've been in habits. I haven't been serving God. I'm trying to do it in my own strength. I'm not making it. And then all of a sudden, all that tension becomes a launching point for your life. And God can hurl you so fast into a future that is so amazing. I like the word catapult. And I like the part about how something can, when you catapult like a rock or a missile or whatever it is, it hits the enemy right where it hurts and it breaks through something that previously would not break. And now because of velocity and speed and intensity, there can be a breakthrough. And I'm praying for every single one of you to have a catapult experience in this new year. The other word is an important word that you'll be hearing much, much more about over the next few weeks, and that's the word surge. Everyone say surge. Let me give you a definition of surge. And my message, if I was going to give it a title, would be 2019, it's time for a surge. Here's the definition of surge. It's from a root word that means to rise. A surge is a powerful forward movement, a sudden powerful forward movement, a sudden large increase. Boy, I like the sound of that. How many would like a sudden large increase in your life? A major deployment of military forces. A powerful rush of emotion or feeling, or a sudden marked increase in electrical voltage or current. When I think about surge, I think about a lot of sudden, powerful things. And you know, a miracle is a surge. We were singing about miracles. God's power wants to surge in our lives. I'm thinking back to, I don't know, was it around 2005, 2007? Maybe the dates are wrong. But we were getting our tails whipped in Baghdad and in Iraq. Remember, we were, the body count every night on the news was another 20 soldiers dead. And it was like, I don't know, we lost 4,500 soldiers. And we're the United States of America, the largest military power on earth. And those guys were hurting us bad in Baghdad. We couldn't get at them. They were coming at us from everywhere. And so the generals got together and they said, this is not working. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you need to stop what you're doing and say, this isn't working. Let's do something different. Because somebody said, well, this is how I do it. And that's the problem. You've been stuck on one setting for 25 years, and God is saying, change it up. It's not that It's not that what you want to happen is so bad, but maybe it's not the what, maybe it's the how. Maybe it's how you're doing it that's not working. So you change what you're doing. And this is what the generals did. They got together and they did a military tactic that they created for this situation that they were in, and they called it the surge. You guys remember that? They started using surge forces, which means that they had soldiers everywhere spread out kind of thin, but they brought them together like a fist. They brought them together and they focused on one area and they blasted through and they knocked the enemy backward. And that, I'm not saying Baghdad is a beautiful city today, but I'm telling you the enemy no longer controls Baghdad. That surge of military force, that focus of attention, that coordinated effort, that organized effort to take the scattered resources of the most powerful military in the world and to concentrate it, to really get the job done in one area, to surge and really knock the enemy out. And I tell you something, the church is the greatest force there is on the earth. We have the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God to the pulling down. So why is it so many times you and I are getting our tails whipped? Because we're spread out. We're not connecting the way, but what would happen if we came together? What would happen if just for 3 days or 1 week, the people of God would get all their firepower together and say, we're taking this out right here. And we just focus and just boom, hit it. We would see victory after victory after victory. Now, I'm not saying this is in our might or our power, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you kind of prophetically. You say, why is he talking about armies? But how many of you understand what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about a spiritual power that God wants to release through us that will produce breakthroughs like we've never seen before. What would happen if we could experience a surge? You say, Pastor David, you have no idea how messed up I am. I'm in sin. I've given myself over to habits. I'm not right with God. I'm messed up. I'm a wreck. I'm exhausted. I'm not thinking right. I'm in no position to win a battle. I'm in no position for God to use me. Oh, yes, you are. Because I said to you already, it's not by your might or your power, but it's by his Spirit. And in fact, Paul the Apostle discovered this great secret that I want to share with you in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Three different times, Paul said, I begged the Lord to take away my overwhelming problem. God, take this away from me. This isn't working. Each time he said, my strength works best, what? In your weakness. So again, it's not about your strength. It's about taking a half step back and saying, Lord, I'm going to make room for you in this marriage because I can't do this. This kid that's on drugs, I can't do this. Lord, I'm asking you to jump into this and let your power begin to do the heavy lifting. I prophesy to you that your weakness is God's opportunity. That the fact that you're frustrated and broken and failing puts you in real good company. Because you know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at being weak. I'm a master at it. I'm great at messing up. I am great at getting it wrong. But somehow in my weakness, God's power starts showing up. And if we could learn to stop trying to lead in our genius ability and our intellect and our might and the force of our personality, just take a half step back and let God begin to get involved in it, we would see victory after victory and miracle after miracle. How many believe that? In fact, this is what Jesus promised in Mark chapter 11. He said this, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, you know, you can, what's the biggest challenge in your life? What's the mountain? A habit? an addiction, an emotional issue, a marriage problem. You've been up against it again and again and again. Nothing's moving. Nothing's changing. Jesus said this, I want you to dream now. I want you to start talking to mountains. He said, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. You got to reach down inside and find that faith you have. And dust off that faith and pick yourself up and say, bless God, I'm going to start talking to this mountain. I'm taking this thing on. Or I'm going to die trying. What have you got to lose? Find your faith. Talk to your mountain. And let's do some great things in 2019. Let's dream big. Let's take on some challenges. Let's get some things done for the glory of God. Not in our might, not in our power, but in His Spirit. Come on, somebody. I tell you, He says it, but you got to really believe it'll happen and not doubt in your heart. And watch this. He said, you can pray, circle that word pray. You can pray for anything. And if you believe you've received it, it will be yours. Does that sound to you like Jesus wants you to take the back seat, lighten up, you know, reduce your speed, play it safe? He's saying, put the pedal to the metal and drive into this mountain. Drive into it. Drive into it. Get your faith back and take this thing on and talk to it. And believe and trust and pray. And it's going to happen. Let me give you four signs that you're ready for a Holy Spirit surge. First, you're stuck. If you're stuck, you know, like a car in a, you know, when a car's tire gets in the mud and you're spinning, you got the pedal to the metal, but you're just spinning your wheels. You're stuck. You're not going anywhere. You're getting overheated and it's time for somebody to come, for like 10 guys to come and do a surge and help you and push on that thing, and suddenly you're off and running like a catapult. If you're stuck in a habit or stuck in a mindset or a deception or a relationship that's not healthy, if you're stuck in a way of thinking or you're stuck in the way you were told to think, you were trained to think the way you're thinking. You're stuck because your head is stuck. Jesus can get you unstuck and He'll renew your mind and things will start moving again. You need a Holy Spirit surge if you're suffering. You know, suffering happens to every person. Good people suffer. You know, you might be suffering and you say, well, what did I do wrong? It's not that you did anything wrong. This is a broken world. They're suffering. But God will come next to you in the midst of the suffering and He'll get you out of the suffering. He'll help you in times of suffering. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will help you move through the time of suffering. I like to see suffering as like a red light on your dashboard. It's telling you something's wrong, needs to be adjusted. Look at it, check it out, and then let's get it fixed. If you're suffering, if you're in pain or you're suffering emotionally or, you know, there's an answer for you. We're going to talk about it. Third, if you're settling, you need a Holy Spirit surge in your life. If you've just made a pact with the enemy, don't bother me, I won't bother you. Maybe you've made a deal with God, don't bother me. Don't ask me for anything, I won't ask you for anything. You're settling. God has more for you. He has awesome things for you. I'm not sure what your 2018 was like, but I want to challenge you. 2019 can be way better. Don't settle for another year like 2018. 1 year from today, when we're looking back on 2019, I want you to say, God blew my hair up this year. God advanced me. God promoted me. God taught me. He filled me. He used me. God was all over my life this year. I don't want 2019 to be the same. I want it to be better. How many of you want it to be better? Am I by myself today? How many are with me? Let's go for more. The other one we'll talk about a little bit more, and that's souls. Because I know that every person in here has people in your life that you are desperate. I had a homeless brother huffing butane on the streets of Stockton. Messed up. There's people in my life that I need God to rescue them. How many have somebody like that in your life? Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe a neighbor or a friend. But you love souls, and so far they haven't come to Christ. So far. You need a surge. You need something because, you know, when it comes to money or business or education or marriage, those things are all good. But you know, when a person is lost in sin, that's a serious situation. That's a big prayer need. How many know that's pretty much the most important thing you could pray for? Well, let me take you into a verse that's going to encourage you. Let me ask you this question. How would a person begin to surge? We need a surge, but how would we do that? I will say this. Prayer is the most important way for you to surge in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you need a breakthrough, if you need a catapult, if you need to accelerate, you begin with prayer. Prayer is the untapped energy that's going to get you through every obstacle. And when you pray, powerful things happen. And when we pray together, whoa. Watch, it's like the surge, man. It's like mobilizing the forces together. You watch stronghold after stronghold breaking down. Let me show you what I mean. James chapter 5. Everybody say prayer. All right, look at my verse here and notice how I've colored these words. Is anyone among you suffering? We talked about suffering, right? Let him what? Is anyone among you sick? What should I do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, if he's messing around with the wrong stuff, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person sometimes works out okay. Is that what it says? Now look, either we believe the Bible or we don't. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person releases the power of God. It releases an electrical surge like a volt. We pray because it works. We pray because it's a generator. It's a thermonuclear force. And he illustrates, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, busted just like you and me, prone to depression. Do you know Elijah had issues with depression? He wanted to kill himself. Elijah was a suicide case at one point in his life. He wasn't walking 12 inches off the ground, speaking in a funny accent, waving his hand, doing miracles. He was a normal person. But it said, he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And he goes on. Now watch this, because we talked about lost souls. Watch this last little piece. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, let me just ask you this question. How would we turn a wanderer back? How would we do that? Would that be in our might or our power? No. Would we pray? This is a prayer passage. So he's saying, if you're sick, pray. If you know somebody that is lost, pray. If you're in a sin, pray. If you need it to rain, pray. If you need it to stop raining, pray. In other words, pray. That's how you get the power of God. In our church, every January, we take a whole month and teach and preach and talk about prayer because we want the prayer culture in our church to be so strong. And I want it to be strong in your life, most importantly, that your altar can be rebuilt, that you can learn more about prayer and take your prayer life to, because once you understand prayer, you got everything else you need. You can surge at any time. Anytime something is stuck or suffering or broken, you can surge through the power of prayer. Now, let me ask you this. What would happen if we could do something like this together? Not just you by yourself, but what would happen if we could come together and see the Holy Spirit's power move in breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough? I want to introduce something that you've been hearing a little bit about, and I'll share it with you now, Prayer Surge. Prayer Surge 2019 is not a gimmick. It's an event that I believe is orchestrated by the will of God in our church for us to take 24 hours, just 24 hours, together and concentrate our prayers and our faith and our love for each other, just 24 hours. And do a round-the-clock prayer right here in this auditorium. I'm not saying you need to be here for 24 hours, but maybe hundreds of us at different times for 24 hours would constitute a spiritual surge. And we're going to have a wall of prayer and over here a wall of praise. And we're going to have the opportunity for you to write scriptures, maybe even a chance to pin some photos of some lost loved ones and some names and some cancer situations and some marriage problems, and whatever. Just write it, put it on the wall of prayer, and then whenever somebody comes in here during that 24 hours, we're just going to pray, and it's going to be a powerful prayer meeting, a 24-hour prayer meeting. And we're going to do it right here. It's going to be carried live on our website. We're going to live cast it, so if people want to be a part of it, that they can't make it physically to the building, you can just dip in for an hour or a half an hour or 3 hours or whatever you want. You can just be, I don't know exactly what's going to, every shift is going to be different, but the leaders are with me on this. This came to me prophetically about 6 or 8 weeks ago, right here on a Saturday morning prayer, and it's as if the Lord said to me, you've got all the forces, and they're all fighting well, and they're good soldiers. But what would happen if you concentrated it and really surged like they did in Iraq? How many people would be saved? How many miracles could happen if we would really unite our faith just for 24 hours of intense prayer round the clock? I shared it with our pastors and our staff, and they got it. They lit up. They got excited. They said, Pastor, we're with you in this. Let's take it to the church. And that's what I'm doing today. So I want you to take a minute right now and write down these dates, January 18 and 19. Life is busy. Believe me, I'm a busy person. I have a schedule. But I've set aside time in my life to surge with you. And I believe, you know, the Lord showed me. I started thinking about this as God was talking to me about getting 24-hour prayer. And I looked at my calendar and I saw Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th. And I thought that might be a good time to do it. And I realized we're going from 2018 into 2019. And I thought, how powerful would it be if we could just get our arms around that 24-hour period from sundown on the 18th, Friday night. We're going to start with worship right here. There's going to be hundreds of people here Friday night. We're going to worship. The young adults are going to pray till midnight. And then there are going to be shifts that just go all the way around. I'm going to be in our church for 24 hours. I'm not going home. You ever seen me when I need a shave? You're going to see it. I'm going to put some cologne on and, you know, I'm going to power through 24 hours because I'm contending for your lost loved ones, for your work situation, for your body to be healed. I'm telling you, there's children going to be born into this church next year because we had prayer surge. There's going to be relatives of yours sitting in this church next year because we prayed. I believe it. I totally. So I want to invite you and encourage you. I'm not going to finish the message. I'm out of time as usual. But here's what I'm saying to you on the last Sunday of 2018. Let's set aside 24 hours, 3 weeks from now. Let's clear the decks and let's get here. Come in your sweats and bring your coffee and let's have some time together. So when I can't pray for 24 hours, I'm not asking you to. Maybe you take an hour. Maybe you take 2 hours. You join us Friday night. You join us early Saturday morning. I think the men are going to be praying. What's your midnight until what? The men are taking the midnight till 3 a.m. shift. And then who's coming in after that? Prayer and healing? You're coming in later. Anyway, we got it all covered. 24 hours, the building will be open. Any time in there that God assigns you to pray. You work graveyard, not a problem. We'll be here, and we're going to have, and this is what I believe is going to happen. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Everybody say this, it's time for me to surge. Now look to your neighbor and tell him, look at him, it's time for you to surge. Time for you to surge, all right. This is not a gimmick for me, guys. You think this is a gimmick? You think because we have a logo, it's a gimmick? I've seen the power of God. I'm talking about prayer. And fasting. What would happen if you didn't eat from dinner time Friday until dinner time Saturday? You say, well, I would die. That's what you believe. But it would not happen. You would not die. You will live. Hallelujah. Father, more than anything, we want to move in a power that we've never experienced. We want more, Lord, for our careers, for our families, for our children, for this next generation, for our 10 cities vision. Lord, for all the challenges that we're facing, the habits that we're fighting, the unhealthy relationships that we're involved in. Lord, we want breakthrough as never before. We want you to catapult us. We feel so behind, but man, you can catapult us forward into a new year, Lord, and past every barrier. And we want to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. We want to surge, Lord. I'm asking that your power and grace will come upon us so that we may surge in Jesus' name. Amen. How many want to surge? Don't do it today. We got to do it together. We're going to get coordinated. We're going to hit the wall, bam, and break through like a rocket. Awesome. So bring your prayer requests, set the date, and let's see God's kingdom come and his will being done. Amen. Praise God. Okay, ushers, are you there? Awesome. Let's serve the people. I'll come back in just a minute. We'll close the service. I want to say a prayer with you at the end. So let's worship for a few minutes and receive our tithes and offerings, and then I'll come back and finish the service.
Wow, what a powerful word. Come on, that's a powerful word.
Thank you, Lord.
Now we're ready for a surge. Are you ready for a surge, church? Can we get some energy in the room? All right. Let's end with a surge of worship here. Lord, as we come into the new year, lead us, Holy Spirit. Sing it out with me.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is.
is without border. Let's go, church. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Let's stand together.
If you want to talk to somebody about where your spiritual life is at, you're saying, I need to get in gear, I need some help, agree with me, that's what our friends are up here for. So I appreciate them. I'm going to put my prayer up and encourage us to say this prayer. Wherever you're at in your faith, maybe you don't feel like you're the greatest Christian, but you know if you call on the name of the Lord, He'll hear you and He'll begin to work in your life. He really will. Can we say this prayer out loud together? Follow along, everyone together. Father God, thank you that your power surges and mountains move when I pray. I'm done being stuck and settling for less than your best. I'm ready to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way. Jesus, connect me with the energy that surges through you and catapult me into this new year. In Christ's name, amen. If I don't get to tell you personally, have a happy, happy new year. I'm so glad to be connected with you, and I'm excited for what the new year will bring. I love each and every one of you. God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Be careful out there, all right? And if you need prayer, come on, join us here at the front. God bless.